We got to continue on because God has displayed his mercy to us so greatly. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we were bought at a price. Therefore, we can't remain the same. We can't go on sinning. Once we're clean and justified, we can't live like the devil and expect to ride into the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. Lest you grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leaves you and may never come back. Because the Bible also tells us all that kind of a warning. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 of Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which is a fact, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Okay? Now he's getting to the point of his first message here, through the unction of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us that we are saved through grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God. Amen. And that this salvation does not fade away. Glory to God. This new birth does not fade away. It doesn't mean that, I feel saved, and I'm going to continue to feel saved and feel like I'm on cloud nine all the time. No, that's not what he's promising here. Jesus had never promised a rose garden. Never, never will. Even Jesus had told us that we'll go through trials and tribulations and testings, and many of them. Amen. Now, we got to decipher the difference between the two types of trials and testings and tribulations, okay? There is a godly, righteous trial and tribulation and testings, amen? But there's also an ungodly type. Because if you're living in sin, and you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ as you claim to be, or as you decided to, and you don't, that's where the Lord will allow a lot of things and sometimes cause as many things to happen to you to get you to repent and turn back to the living God, to help you to change course. But there's another type of trials and tribulations when you're doing the will of God, when you're in the will of God, and you're living right with God. Trials and tribulations will come, and that helps us to be refined. That's one of the ways that the Lord refines us, through the fire of fiery trials and testings. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? To produce even more stronger faith and more powerful anointing. Hallelujah. With the ungodly type, that's how the Lord disciplines us spiritually, or chastises us spiritually, to get our attention, to turn back to the living God. Some people never turn back until they have nothing left, and you still refuse God. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Guess what? He will take his flight and will never return, because that's what you so desired, according to Romans chapter 1. We've already dealt with this kind of studies before. So through that anointing that he has given you, through the price of trials and tribulations, guess what? Will bring people to Jesus Christ and multiply the church to expand the kingdom of heaven on earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To point the way to Jesus Christ effectively. Amen. And that's what he's telling us here. That's the type of fiery trial that he's talking about here. A godly trial in tribulations and testings. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice because you're saved. You may not feel saved, but you are. Because through faith, amen? Glory to God. Because there will be times where you won't feel saved. There are times that you'll wake up and think, how did I miss it? I was living right yesterday. I woke up and I don't feel saved. What's going on? Because the just shall live by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith and not by feelings. Glory to God. Amen? Because why? Feelings are fickle. They are. They're up 1 minute, down the next. But since we are born again and have the power of the Holy Spirit by the authority of Jesus Christ, we don't have to allow our flesh to dictate us, but we, through the authority of Jesus Christ and by his blood, can dictate our flesh what to do through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. and that's where Christians need to learn on a daily basis. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. So now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. See? When you're tested by fire, when you're being refined by the fiery trials, glory to God, it produces much. Praise, praising the Lord. Honor, it's not honor we don't seek. But God will exalt us in due time. That's what the Bible also teaches us. Amen? In James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen? Verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up in due season, in due time. That's what he says here. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith, which is more faith, more powerful, strong faith in the Lord and what he can do and what he can do and will do through you. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the refining fire to give you a more powerful anointing. Because the Bible says we need to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one measure of faith to a new measure of faith. Amen? The Lord Jesus gives us this parable. He, the Lord Jesus, put forth to them, the disciples, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Do you understand what this parable means? The kingdom of heaven, also described as faith. The kingdom of heaven, or faith, is like a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is small, very small, tiny, in fact, which a man took and sowed in his field. What is his field? The mind, the heart, the body. Amen. Glory to God. The temple of God, which is sown. Now, the seed is the word of God, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, is that overnight? No. It takes a process. Reading the Word of God, you feed your faith. Hallelujah. And you go through the trials because why? You will not survive trials and tribulations if you don't read the Word of God. And that's why many Christians are broke, busted, and disgusted, and sick. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, bankrupt, shipwrecked, because they don't read the Word of God. And when it went through the trials and tribulations, guess what? Oh, that choked the Word of God, and what they did have, what was sown into them, was choked. And they became unfruitful and fell away. But the ones who are grounded and rooted in the Word of God, and when they go through the trials and tribulations, guess what? The Holy Spirit will minister and will remind them of the Scriptures and say, aha, now I understand. Glory to God, give me more, give me more, give me more. I want more of you, Lord Jesus. I want more of what you want for me in my life. I want more of what you promised, glory to God. I want stronger faith, hallelujah. I want a more powerful anointing to reach more souls for the kingdom of heaven, glory to God. Hallelujah! Because I know it is producing something in me greater than I. Glory to Jesus. See? And that produces right here. Praise, honor, and glory. Praise the Lord. And that is receiving the end of your faith. The salvation of your souls. Now this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Even Jesus Christ had promised the sufferings of himself. Matthew chapter 24 tells us as fact, they will hate you because of me. That's also in John chapter 15. They will hate you because of me. John chapter 16 tells us, you will go through trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, that's what he's promised. But those who are grounded and rooted in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You will always be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus through anything that this world may take us through. If only we abide in Christ actively, daily, through his word and through the relationship with God. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Has anyone pondered what that meant? I skimmed over that for years until a few months ago. The Lord revealed to me what that means. Gird up the loins of your mind. It means to make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to press into? Make up your mind what kind of life you want to live and do it. Because that's the principles of God right there. Not only be hearers of God's word, but doers. If you choose Christ, live like Christ. Imitate Jesus Christ. Amen? In holiness, in righteous living. And mean it, and do it, and walk it, and live it, and talk it. Allow it to consume you completely. Submersing you in that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of life. If you choose the world, do that. Do that. Don't be a worldly person and call yourself a Christian who don't know God. And how dare you, wolves in sheep's clothing? The Holy Spirit rebukes you also. And don't think that Christians who have the anointing of God, who are born again, don't see it. Don't see your foolery. Even on the internet, I see your foolery. Because Jesus says, by their fruits you will recognize them. I read the Word of God. Hallelujah. I have a real relationship with God. I have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals to me things about a person, both Christians and heathens and sinners, about backsliders and hypocrites, and those who are trying to pull wool over the eyes. Because the Holy Spirit sees you and knows your heart. I don't. But that's the great, powerful gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits. Not just holy angels and devils, but also what manner of spirit is in a person. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Who are you going to serve? You got to make that choice now. And if you choose Jesus Christ, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance of the past. That's what he's referring to. Your ignorance of the past. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written. It is written. It is written. Be holy, for I am holy. Thus says the Lord God Almighty. And it is written. This is referring to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, and verse 45, and chapter 19, verse 2, and chapter 20, verse 7. Glory to God. It is written, and it is still written in the New Testament. And if you call on the Father whom without partiality judges, without partiality, meaning he doesn't play favorites, judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here on earth in fear. Because remember, we're pilgrims. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven for those who are born again, children of God, who continues to walk in Christ Jesus, who abides in Christ Jesus, glory to God, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. Redeemed. Pardoned. Forgiven. Amen. With corruptible things like silver or gold from aimless conducts receiving by traditions your fathers. Sins. We're not saved by sin. We're saved by grace through the power of God, by mercy of God. Talking about the sin nature. But with the precious blood of Christ, we are saved. We are blood bought. Hallelujah. We are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, according to Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, and chapter 10. Amen. But with the precious blood of Christ, we are saved. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Perfect. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. He was illuminated by the Holy Spirit, testifying that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our Justifier. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the world's real Messiah. That came into this world by the virgin birth in the flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit, died for our sins, transgressions, iniquities, and all abominable sins, and raised from the dead on the third day, and ascended back into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. Teaching us how to live as Christ has lived on this earth. We can't stay at justification. We have to move forward. God's called to sanctification. When we all stand before God in judgment, He's going to ask you a simple question. You have the revelation to walk forward in faith. And my word says, the just shall live by faith. And yet you didn't. You stayed at justification thinking that you're safe. Why didn't you walk since I called you forth into holiness? What are you going to tell him? What excuse are you going to give him? You cannot. He knows all things. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts of your mind. Since we're blood-bought, we're not our own. We are the temple of the living God. And in order to enter into rest, just like in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 tells us, we must be obedient to God. And stay obedient and stay right with God in order to reach heaven as our home. And that's what he's saying here. This is another example of how we can lose salvation if we're disobedient and continue in that. And that's why he says to make up your minds to be real Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ or not. But if you choose Christ, you have to live by this way. You have to, because we're not our own. We are blood-bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he says later on that it's better to not have known the Lord than to have known him and walk away from the righteous requirements. It is better on the day of judgment to not have known him at all than to have known him and walk away from his requirements of holy living. Found in 2 Peter Chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. An easier translation would tell you in this passage of Scripture that whatever you're a slave to has mastery over you. So if you're in bondage to sin, sin has mastery over you, and you have no power over it or over them. Either one sin or many sins. You have no power over them or it. Because why? It has mastery over you. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world, meaning being justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in their past sins, are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Here's the punchline. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the proverb because they didn't make a decision. And no decision is a decision. If you decide to live alongside the fence, guess what? That's a decision. To be stuck in between two opinions. Satan and God. The world and of holiness. It's either heaven or hell. God Almighty or the devil. The world or righteousness. There's nothing in between. And if you choose self, guess what? You're serving Satan, because that's exactly what pride is, self-worship. That's also idolatry, self-worship. Yes, and I'm talking to you atheists. Self-worship. You claim to be God. That's self-worship. That's pride. And pride goes before a fall. And how great that crash and fall will be at the end of your life if you do not come to your senses and repent and turn to living God. He's talking to the church here also. We need to make a conscious decision and do it. And do it. If you choose the Lord Jesus Christ, again, you must live according to the holy commandments of Christ. Jesus. Verse 21, whom through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, believed God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. See, we don't not only believe it, we know it. We know that happened. Because why? The Holy Spirit testifies, and the Holy Spirit is holy. Hence his name, Holy Spirit, which means he cannot lie. It's not in his nature to lie. God cannot lie because it's not his nature to lie. And the Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the virgin birth in the flesh and died for the remission of sins and risen from the dead on the third day and ascended back into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit testifies that because he cannot lie. That's how we know without a shadow of a doubt. Hallelujah. It's not about blind faith. It's knowing. It's not knowing about. It's not just about believing, it's knowing. Those who have a real relationship with God knows the truth. And the truth will set you free. Glory to God. Who through him believed God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now we'll stop right there. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. There are many passages of scriptures that tells us that it's not the responsibility of God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to deliver us from sin. Once he's given a knowledge of what sin is, and we're guilty of doing that, guess what? We have to turn away. We have to repent. Lay that sin down. Glory to God. And one passage of scripture is Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. If we're born again, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do exactly that. Lay down our sins, our foreign gods. Whatever we're worshiping is idolatry. Anything we put place above God is idolatry. Guess what? Lay it down. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Glory to God. Amen. In Revelation chapter 22. Starting in verse 14, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Talking about children of God, believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians, real true Christians, not hypocrites, not wolves in sheep's clothing, not people who fool others. Because guess what? You're mentioned in the next verse. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those who love and to practice foolery, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven, by no means. But blessed are those who do his commandments, In other translations, it says, blessed are those who washes their robes. Who washes their robes through the word of God. And in between Genesis and Revelation tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. As church is cleansed by the washing of the water through the word. Amen. Hallelujah. It's our responsibility to lay it all down once sin is revealed in our lives. Glory to God. That is the process of sanctification. To learn what holiness is and do it. And become it. Praise the Lord. And I guarantee you, when you train your flesh to submit unto God, guess what? This holy walk becomes easier and easier and easier. Teach me your ways, O God. That should be the prayer of your life. Teach me all your ways, O Lord, O God, that I will walk in them. Because it is more than possible to go and sin no more. It is more than possible to live and imitate Jesus Christ. You can't be Jesus Christ. You can only be like him with a pure heart and pure motives through the Holy Spirit. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, okay, you're living right and holy, don't neglect the love of the brethren, the holy love of the brethren, with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is our righteous, holy requirement from God to live right with him, because he wants to constantly have fellowship with us, because again, sin separates us from God, severs our communication line with God. That's why he wants us in constant fellowship and forsake the world and of Satan and temptations and all sins as he reveals it to us in that process of his call of sanctification. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And right there is the evidence, once again, of illumination, justification, sanctification, to glorification. All that evidence is right here in 1 Peter chapter 1, that's how he starts out this sermon, the sermon of the Holy Spirit, pointing back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and reminding us that we need to start living right unto God, since he bought us with his blood. He bought us at a price, and we are not our own. We are the holy temple of the living God. Hallelujah. And again, in Philippians chapter 3, gives us the evidence of the process of God, illumination, justification, sanctification, in continuation of living the truth of God's holy word, amen, in order to reach glorification. And that's found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, found in all in one chapter. Verse 1, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He's always dealing with sins, amen, just like the Apostle Peter is doing right now. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation, the workers of the law, those who believe that they'll be justified through the law of works and not by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who are justified through faith in Jesus Christ by his blood, through grace, amen. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. Have no confidence in the flesh. We don't. We have the anointing by the Holy Spirit to put down the flesh's will and the temptations of Satan through the authority of Jesus Christ for those who abide in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, illumination. Reminding us how to conduct ourselves in Jesus Christ and what kind of power we have through the blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless, perfect.
The Apostle Paul claimed perfection in the law until Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, showing him that he still understood until justified. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Why? Because he has illuminated the truth. Amen? Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that is which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, justification, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. After you're justified, you now have a relationship with God. Because why? He's justified you of your past sins. He's pardoned you of your past sins. He doesn't deny that you're guilty of all your past sins. But he has pardoned you, forgiven them. That's what Jesus Christ died on the cross for the remission of sins. Of your past sins, acquitted you, pardoned you of your past sins. He can't pardon you and acquit you of your future sins that you have not committed yet, but only of your past. So you're only justified once. That he may gain the relationship with Christ, an active relationship, a powerful relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Putting to death his members. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12 was teaching us, hallelujah, to put to death the members of sin, to be alive to Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. That's what born again means, being dead to sin, raised up to life in Jesus Christ. And if you're alive in Jesus Christ, you're dead to sin. But if you're dead to Christ, you're alive in sin. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit had done in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being born again. Glory to God. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me, the call to sanctification. See, he says, not that I have already attained through the baptism, being born again of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, or am already perfected. No. But he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me, righteousness. Hallelujah. That's God's call to sanctification. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Apprehend what? Perfection. Glorification. He has not yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the call to sanctification in order to reach glorification. Let's read on. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind, the mind of Christ. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of holiness of Jesus Christ. The cross represents justification, but it also represents holiness. It also represents repentance, to live the changed life from death to life, being dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Hallelujah. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things because they're carnally minded. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. This is glorification. This is what glorification means, to die, be raised from the dead, and be glorified with new bodies in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. If we walk according to Lord Jesus' holy commandments.
as long as we wash our robes, lay aside everything that hinders, all the sins, all the will of the flesh, the temptations of the devil, submitting unto God. Hallelujah. Resisting the devil in every turn to live as Christ has lived on this earth. Hallelujah. Therefore, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, either in his, the appearance in the clouds, the rapture, or in death. Because to live is Christ. To live holy on this earth is Christ. But to die is gain. Gaining heaven. Amen. Because our citizenship is not of this earth, but of heaven. We're just pilgrims on this earth. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And just in one passage of Scripture, we see the evidence all throughout God's holy word from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of the official Jewish canon, from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one and only. The evidence of illumination, justification, sanctification, and glorification is not only found in all throughout this holy book of the Holy Bible, but in this one passage of Scripture as well. And that's what we must do right now. Walk in the call of sanctification. Press on. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the goal for the prize, heaven, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's what we are required to live through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the Lord Jesus' mighty name. Amen.